to see everybody this morning. Everybody excited?
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be rejoicing. Glory. How many want to have church as usual? Well, I didn't hear anybody say yes.
We always have good church. Was that a trick question?
Well, with God, there's nothing normal, right? We want to be normal according to the Bible, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's good to see everybody. Great time to be here at the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the way we should be, glad, excited, on fire. Glory to God. People ought to wonder, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with them people? They want to go to church. You got to be kidding me. Could be doing a lot of other things. Well, glory to God. You don't know what we have. You don't know our God. Come along. Visit us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. You know, you guys are the church. Without you, why, there'd be no church, right?
Right.
Glory to God. Okay, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew. And we're going to be in chapter 13. Very familiar passages. And I'm sure you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. But you know, every passage of Scripture is like a pie. And there's pieces of the pie. You know, so you can preach a lot of different messages from one passage of Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. God, we thank you for the parables that Jesus taught. We thank you, Lord God, how they, when we understand them, Father, they're so deep. God, it seems so simple, but God, your word gets so deep, Father. So God, as we look into your word, Father God, God, you captivate our thoughts, Father. Captivate our minds, Lord God. God, may we focus on what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, Father. God, we just long to be in your presence today. So God, don't let this be a normal service. But God, captivate each one of us. Just like hold us in your hand, each one, and whisper in our ear what you would have for us to hear this morning. And Father, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message, the parables speaking about the different fields there in the natural. So the title of the message is The Field of Dreams. Think about it. The Field of Dreams. Wasn't this really what Jesus was talking about? The goal. The end product. So here we have the parable of the sower. And how many understand the concept of broadcasting seed? Now, not on a radio. You have to get back to the farm, the old-timey farm. Come on. That may be a little back before some of your time. Anyways, back years ago, they would go out and they would broadcast seed. And originally, it was one of these deals. You would just take it and you carried a bag and you would just reach in the bag and you would get a handful and you would spread it out. And as you walked, you would just be broadcasting. That would take up an area, say this far, and then you would turn around at the end of the field and come back, and you would go back and forth, and you would just broadcast this seed. And then they come out with these whirly things that you just spin the crank and it throws it out there. That was later on. Maybe some of you remember that. But we've advanced since then. But anyways, this was back when Jesus was talking to these people. And they understood what he was talking about. And so we have the parables was the parallel. That was the natural. Jesus was speaking in something they could understand, that they was accustomed to, and they understood it. But he was speaking deeper things than that. And a lot of the people, it just went, okay, so we talked about sowing grass seed or something today. Okay, so now this parable is found in all three Gospels. And this is known as the Synoptic Gospels. In other words, they pretty much lined up with each other. There was Matthew, Mark, and Luke was pretty much the same. You could pick up these parables and things, and they was pretty much the same. And then John, he was distinct. His gospel wasn't quite like theirs. So that was the difference in them. So they're all three of these, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about the story or the parable of the sower. And some of the writers bring out a little bit more clarity in each one of them. So if you're studying this, you may want to, you know, go into Matthew and read that and compare Mark with that and compare Luke with that. And just to see their different take on things, how they just bring things out just a little bit different. Some are bring things out in more clarity. So as we talk about this, I may be pulling stuff out of each one of the Gospels. And so in every story or every passage of Scripture, there are characters or focus points in that passage of Scripture. So in this passage that we're looking at, we have, first of all, the sower, right? Now, in the natural, when we used to go out and broadcast, well, you know, you had to choose what seed you wanted to broadcast. You couldn't just say, well, we'll just see what we have and go out and throw some out there. But we had to choose. And so there was a lot of things. So we have the sower in this parable of the sower. And Jesus said, now get this. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. You have to understand this, or you'll miss the other ones. So we have the sower, and we have the seed. We have the places where the seed fell. We have the fowl of the air, and we have the results or the end product. And it's very interesting the way, you know, the disciples would come to Jesus and they say, we don't understand this. We want to understand exactly what you're saying. And so many times Jesus would say, after the crowd left or whatever, Jesus would say, okay, guys, now I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. And so he gave the explanation. And he talked about the sower. And as you see, he really wasn't talking about natural seeds, was he? Wasn't talking about grass seed or alfalfa or clover or timothy or orchard grass or broom grass or fescue or any of that. He wasn't talking about that, even though that's what he made contact with the people, you know. But he talked about the sower. Now understand that pretty soon the sower is only mentioned right up front. And then the sower just sort of disappears. Don't say anything more about the sower. So anyways, the sower. And the sower makes preparation to sow the fields. And so in the spiritual, and this is what Jesus was talking about, you know, the parallel between the natural and the spiritual. And so here Jesus is talking about the spiritual. And so the preparation of the sower. Now, okay, what I'm doing, I'm sowing seed today. Okay? I'm sowing seed. I'm one of those guys Jesus was talking about. And so we prepare to sow the seed. And you guys will also go out to sow. Come on. So the first thing we do, we pray. Pray. Prayer is the basis for everything. And then we have to choose the seed, right? If we're sowing faith seeds, we're probably not going to be talking about something else, but we're going to be talking about faith. Because faith comes by
hearing.
Right. And so faith comes by hearing the Word of God, what the Word of God says about faith. Right? And so we choose the seed. The next thing is the timing, or in season. You know, there was a time when you went out there to broadcast. When we would go out to broadcast alfalfa or clover, we would go out, you know, in the spring of the year, real, real early in the spring, when it was freezing, you know, you'd sow wheat in this is what we done. We sowed wheat in the fall, and then we would go out in like February when the ground was freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing, and you would sow at that particular time. You know, there are seasons in the spirit realm, and we need to sow in the right season. And so what would happen, you would go out there and you would scatter your seed, and the frost would heave it up, and then it would thaw, and it would just like suck it into the ground, and it could take root. And then we got a stand of alfalfa or clover that we were sowing. So, season timing is very important. You know, it can be the right thing, but if it's at the wrong time, oh, sometimes it can have real bad effects, right? So timing is important. And then delivery. Delivery is important. Now, you just have to pray about these things. See, you're praying about these things before. So you need to be praying about these things. God, how do I deliver what I have from you? There's a right way and there's a wrong way. It's just like a prophet. A prophet, you know, a lot of Old Testament prophets, they come with judgment. There was so much judgment in the Old Testament, right? And now in the New Testament, it's an Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant, right? New Covenant better than the Old Covenant. The promises of the New Covenant are better than the promises of the Old Covenant, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you know, there's grace and there's love. And so instead of the harshness, you know, there may be some judgment there, but there's always that love. There is always that promise of God of restoration. Always the promise that, hey, he's going to take care of this thing. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 12:9. Now this is Solomon, and he's wrapping up the book of Ecclesiastes. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And in the next verse, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And that was Solomon. With all this wisdom. And he was the preacher, right? He was the guy he was talking about. He was the preacher. And he said, man, I gotta find the right words. I gotta understand this. Glory to God. So, you know, there's just so much. There was a pastor one time, and he would prepare his message and through the week. And Saturday afternoon, he had a housekeeper, and she was not well educated. She didn't understand a lot of fancy highfalutin words, you know. And so he would preach this message to her. And if there was any words that she didn't understand what it was, he would change that so that she could understand it. You know, the Bible says, except we come as a little child. And so he wanted even a little child to understand what he was saying. Otherwise, it could have been a great message, but if it went, what good did it do? Glory to God. So, you know, it's important. You know, we share the gospel with the different colors of beads on a bracelet. And it is so simple. You know, there are people that have sat in church and not understood the gospel. They just, you know, there are people that have sat in church and they've heard the gospel. They've heard that Jesus, you know, they heard that sin came into the world. And now there's this division from God. And they heard about that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they heard about Jesus that died on the cross for everyone's sins. And they heard about redemption. They heard about, you know, love. They heard about all these things. But somewhere along the line, did anybody ever ask them, have you ever made a commitment to Jesus? If you've ever been in sales, anybody ever been in sales? Okay, if you've ever been in sales and, you know, you need to know your product. Come on. You need to know what you're selling. And so you study, you learn your product, you learn how to connect with people, and you learn how to get the point across And you can tell them everything about this product you are trying to sell. It can be so good. It can be the best product in the world. But unless you ask them if they want to buy it, what have you done? Hallelujah. So, you know, there comes that time when you have to ask people, what are you going to do with it now? Now that you know it, what are you going to do with it? Do you want it? God says, it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Not complicated. It's a gift. Do you want to receive it? And we say, well, it's a free gift. And it is. But it's going to cost you something. Are you ready to give your life for it? Jesus gave his life for us. Why won't we give our life for him? Glory to God. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. So we have the sower. And we have the... Now, in the natural, it was talking about the different places where the seed fell. In the spiritual, it's about the different categories or types of the heart that it fell on. And then it talks about the fowl of the air. In the different gospels, you will see one says the wicked one, one says Satan, one says the devil. All talking about the same thing. And the fowl of the air, that was the demons that the wicked one, Satan, the devil, rules over, right? And then we also see the account of the four different outcomes. So as we look at this, we're going to look at Matthew 13, 18, and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So here it says that the seed is the word of the kingdom, the word of God. Well, the word of God is the will of God. You know the word of God, you will know the will of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's the word of God. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And of course, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All these things talking about the word of God. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The word of God. So here's the word of God. And as it goes out, you know, you wonder, well, what is this seed? Well, it talks about the seed right there in those scriptures. What the seed is, what the seed does. Hallelujah. And the fowl of the air, it's the demons. And, you know, Jesus interprets them like the wicked one and Satan and the devil. In Genesis 15:11, when Abraham is making a covenant with God, remember the story? And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What were the vultures doing? They were interfering between God and man, trying to defile Abraham's sacrifices. So back then, the fowls of the air was trying to come to steal. You know, years ago, I remember having a dream. Long time ago. Well, it really wasn't that long ago. It was a few years ago, okay? Had a dream, and here's these horde of vultures. And they're just, I mean, the sky's black with them. If you've ever been around the lakes, you know, there are birds that come in and they just fill the fields. Well, anyways, here, I remember being out in this field, and here's just all black with these vultures, and they're just sweeping down. And I remember just driving them off. You know, we have power. Hallelujah. We have power over all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. So we can do that. And I remember sharing it with the pastor of the church I was at the time. And I remember sharing it with probably the whole church. And, you know, I should have done that. That was right. Because this was a spiritual dream. And I knew it was a spiritual dream. But you know what? I didn't understand my part in this thing. Till after the vultures came and destroyed stuff. You know, I failed to press in. I failed to seek God for the revelation behind that. You know, sometimes we can have a dream. We can receive something from God, and we just know it's so real, and yet we fail to understand our part in it, and we can miss it. So easy. Hallelujah. So, first thing I had to do, I had to repent. God, I missed it. I blew it. Ask forgiveness. Hallelujah. You know, when God gives us something, it's for a reason. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. So, but we're all learning, right? We're all in this thing together, and we're all learning. Hallelujah. Here a little, there a little, you know. And there was one time I was out when I was a crop technician for Bedford Blair Crop Management. I was out in this field and driving up this lane, cornfields and soybeans and hay fields, and I'm driving up this farm lane, and I saw this bird up there, and I saw this bigger bird come up and fight with this other bird. And you know, I've seen crows, hawks, and I've seen little birds come up and attack them like, but this was different. And then I saw something drop from that first bird. I thought, wow, this is different. Well, here what it was a hawk had come down, and there was this turkey, and she had a flock of little ones, and this hawk had come down and picked up one of those little turkeys and was flying off. Mama turkey flew up there and attacked that hawk and dropped the baby. Never saw it before. Never heard of such a thing before. But God shows us things, you know, and if we say, God, what is this all about? This is so strange, God. What is this all about? Hallelujah. But you know, the fowls of the air. Hallelujah. So, those by the wayside. You know, it talks that the first group is those by the wayside. And so some people believe that, well, they wasn't really saved. Or they're backslidden. And this may be, you know, that may be. But, you know, it says that the devil came and took the word of God out of their hearts. So their heart must have been receptive in some way to the word, right? And the fowls of the air, the demons came, and it got in their heart, and they come and took it out. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so, we see that the wayside. And, you know, it could be, you know, that they wasn't saved or that they was backslidden. But, you know, on the wayside, think about it. The wayside. You know, the demons come to take the word out of the hearts of the stragglers, the weak, and the newborn, because they're easy picking. You know, they go for the rejected, the lonely, the hurting, the wounded, and the neglected. And Jesus said, "Lest they believe what God says and be saved from whatever they need to be saved from." You know, we can think it's just initial salvation, but there's a lot of things we may need to be saved from, right? And so the demons, they don't want, Jesus said that he came to set the captives free, right? Mm-hmm. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so the demons don't want people to be free. That's the last thing they want, is for people to be free. Because freedom is free from the power of sin. Come on, glory to God. And freedom to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the demons, they're just screaming, "Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Get that word. Grab that word." John 8:32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. Don't let them grab a whole lot of truth. Get that truth out of there. We want to feed them lies. Don't you let them have truth. Can you imagine the racket that the demonic is going? Grab that quick. Don't let that sprout. Don't let those roots go down. Get that. Isn't that what it's talking about? Absolutely. You know, but I believe if our time, now, understand, Jesus is talking about this can happen in any church. All these things can happen in any church. But I believe, well, if our time of praise and worship is deep and is sincere, a time of giving praise and worship and receiving from God, you know, worship is not only given to God, but it's taking the time to be, you know, just be transparent before God, just to receive from Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, if we just take this to the next level, how many want to go to the next level? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah, you said you didn't want just average church, you know. Hallelujah. You know, when the praise and worship is a time of ushering in the presence of God and responding to the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's not just, you know, it's like throw the clock away. Come on. It's like, "God, we're here to meet with you. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, we're here." Glory to God. There should be excitement in this place. Hallelujah. You know, when that happens, hearts will be prepared to receive the Word of God. Come on. Hallelujah. In verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Man, oh man, here comes the word. And it's so good. Come on. You've been there. You've heard the word. You got excited about it. But what happened? How many have ever said to somebody in the middle of the week, what was the sermon about? It was good. That was right on. What was it about? Come on. We've all been. Ouch. You know, we receive the word with joy, and for a while we hang on to it. You know, and it can be for a day, a week, a month, a year, you know, that we hang on to it, only to lose it. How many of the fire you once had? Lord, stoke things up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm sure every pastor has seen people receive the word, and when the test comes, how many know there's a test coming? You know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. And how many times do we pass it, and how many times do we fail it? And sometimes we fail a test and have no idea we failed it. We missed it. So easy to do. Hallelujah. Maybe we haven't had a clue. We just don't have a clue that we just blew it. We failed the test. Glory to God. But Jesus said, because of temptation. Well, if Jesus was tempted, how many know Jesus was tempted? If he was tempted, and we're following him, guess what? We're going to be tempted too. Hallelujah. You know, temptation, and you can have your own definition of temptation. You can say, well, temptation is this sin, or this sin, or this sin, or this sin, or this sin. And it could be. Could very well be. Or temptation could be to know what to do and not to do it. See, the enemy wants to get you one way or the other. He don't care how. He wants to tempt you and see if you really believe God. If you really trust God. If you really know the Word of God. If you stand on the Word of God. The devil knows the Word of God. Come on. He knows the Bible probably better than I do. Hallelujah. But he don't have the power. We have all power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he likes to twist the word. Hallelujah. Because he don't want us to know the truth. Hallelujah. So, what's step one of Satan's plan against the church? Attack God's people early in their calling. Distract them, persecute them, crush them before they're strong enough to resist. Psalm 78:9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. Anybody ever been there? You had the goods. And for some reason, backed off from it. Hallelujah. You know, they just quit. They was armed. And they just quit. Well, What was that? That was temptation. You know, every day in the United States, there's all kinds of temptations. October 30th, 2012, U.S. Census Bureau. In America, there's one divorce every 36 seconds. That's nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 divorces per week, 876,000 divorces per year. That's temptation. There were 42,773 recorded suicides in the United States in 2014, according to Center for Disease Control and National Center for Health Statistics. 42,773 people was tempted, and they failed the test. They took their life. According to whatever statistics you look at, anywhere from 250 to 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month. Why? Temptation. Tempted to just quit. Just throw in the towel. They don't want to listen to me anyways. I'm not doing any good. I might as well do something else. 4,000 new churches begin each year, while 7,000 churches close. Devil's out there. Temptation. Temptation's the devil's design to sidetrack your faith in God's plan for your life. With temptation comes fear, worry, and doubt. No fruit. Verse 22. And he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here we have, among the thorns, here's the word, but the things of the world strangle the very life out of it. If you want to hear the cares of the world, talk radio. Turn your television onto the news, and you will hear all about the cares of the world. The drug industry, if you have a television and you have it on, I'll guarantee you, in an hour's programming, the drug industry will have a big portion of it. This might be just what you always needed. This might be just what you wanted. This could be your magic. This could be. By the way, you might die from it. Say that real fast, you know, but the other, this could be. So there's all kinds of thorns out there. You know, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, we can't serve God and mammon too. Choose who we're going to serve. You know, do we believe that God's our provider when we do our part?
Yes.
The thorns come and don't want us to believe the word of God. They don't want us to believe that if we tithe, if we're faithful to God, he's faithful to us. Isn't that what his word says? Glory to God. He said, try me. Now listen, the king of the universe, the one and true and only living God, said, try me. Check it out. See if I won't prove my word to be true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or one of the big ones is buying into the gambling. You know, you talk about deception. Isn't that the deception of riches? Oh, you could win $1 million. 10 million. 200 million. You'll spend $300 million doing it. Or if you do win, how many have ever heard a success story from people that won? The big times. It's pretty tragic. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tragic. Deception. Deception. Hallelujah. Lust of other things. You know, when we pursue things more than we pursue God, that's the lust of other things. And Jesus said, no fruit. And then we see, last of all, are those, he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hallelujah. So the good ground, hear the word, fresh and new in season. They receive the word, they consume the word. Study the Word. Believe the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Live the Word of God. That's the good soil. Hallelujah. John 15:4, the Amplified says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. Hallelujah. When we remain in that vine, glory to God, we're going to produce fruit. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not or if we don't quit. Hallelujah. Another translation says, let us not get tired of doing what's right, for after a while we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. And the result is produce much fruit. Hallelujah. How many want to produce much fruit?
Amen.
How many wants to go for the gold? Some 30, some 60, some 100. How about 1,000? Glory to God. Well, that's what I want. Hallelujah. And I don't want the enemy to come and steal anything from me. Hallelujah. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Hallelujah. So, you know, we need to just put him under our feet. Work on him a little, you know, grind him down a little bit. Now. Put the finishing touch to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's a lot in that parable of the sower. So much. And today, we want to take communion. You know, maybe you saw yourself in some of the places. You know, maybe something put you by the wayside. And you didn't receive the word at one time or another. You know, or maybe you received the word and it was good and then it was gone. And then maybe you received the word and all this other stuff come and captured your attention and stole from you. And no fruit. Or maybe you saw yourself as the good ground and want to stay there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give God a hand.